Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. The Apostle Paul was commending the brethren in that congregation for being followers, not only of the apostle and his fellow laborers, but in specific followers of Christ. Because after all, you know, they just follow men. That didn't do them any good. And he was not interested in people following him. You see, a lot of people are in that business. They want people after them, and so they call the churches by their name or certain things that they believe in. And yet he told them to be followers of us, in verse 6, and the Lord. And he told all the churches, follow me as I follow Christ. And there was no way for them, being Gentiles who have not been raised on the scriptures from a child, to know exactly how to follow Christ unless Paul taught them that which was lacking there. Because many of them, most of the people that the Apostle Paul dealt with, had a background in the law of God by the mere fact that they generally were around the synagogue. And in verse 8 he continues, for from you the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord? You see, if you do not understand the terminology of the Apostle Paul, the biblical terminology, the word of the Lord, is what the Lord spoke from Genesis 1:1. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the children of Israel. And the Lord said to Abraham or to Noah or all the prophets that came later on. That's the word of the Lord. And apart from the knowledge of the law of God, you wouldn't know what it is. So it says, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God, the primary personality that we have to have faith in, is God. And that's what he's saying here. And also Jesus Christ. Or as I said in another place, repentance is toward God because we have transgressed his law. And faith in Jesus Christ, who is going to deliver us from the penalty of that law. And so the two of them go together. And he makes it plain in so many places, and yet people read it and goes over their head, and still to this very day, an awful lot of people, that there are two gods. They believe that there are two gods, two religions, two sets of doctrines, Old Testament, New Testament, and there is no such a thing. God's religion is one from the beginning until the end. You see, what happened 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, the God of Israel, descended on this earth and began to magnify that law to the masses. And yet that very law has been magnified to individuals before that. They were called the prophets or the men of God. So even in that, there was nothing new, even though some more details were added about the mystery and the plan of God, which were not known previously in terms of timing and when and things like that. But the very nature of God, that was known from the beginning of time. And so he says, your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you. In other words, the way we conducted ourselves was in accordance with the law of God, not against the law of God, and a part of the law that Jesus Christ in person told his disciples, that he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I give you a personal example. And so that's a part of the word of God and a part of the behavior and conduct of the true follower of Christ. And so he says, you know exactly how we behaved and how you turned to God. See, he didn't say you turned to Jesus Christ, you know, a new religion. Paul is teaching a new religion. Jesus Christ is the God of that religion. He didn't say that. He said, you turned to God from idols to serve the living true God, speaking about Elohim, the Father, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the God of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was also the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's the one that dealt with them on a personal basis. And so they turned away from idols, which were not gods, to the true God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. So they believe in God, they turn away from idols to God, and they wait for his Son, whom he raised. And you see, the Father is always in the center of the preaching of the Apostle Paul. Yet the pagan religion called Christianity claims that Christ was the center, and he was not. Christ didn't come to seek the preeminence over his Father. Christ came to reveal his Father, and he gave him constantly the credit and the preeminence. And that's why he said, you better be careful of those people who will come in my name. They're going to make a great idol out of me at the expense of the Father. And they're going to teach supposedly a new doctrine as if I taught something new, and he did not. And they will deceive many. And to this very day, the overwhelming majority who call themselves Christians are in that deception. And they don't know it because they're drunk, as God said, with the wine of the wrath of the fornication of the great whore and the harlots. And the people of God, if they are to be the followers of God, of the true God, and worship him in truth and in spirit, must come out of Babylon. And the only way you can do it is when you study the Word of God day and night and see exactly how God wrote his Word, how he inspired it to be written. You see? Now this is exactly what you see here with the Apostle Paul. Wherever he went, he constantly stressed that point. The Father is the head of all things. He's in the center of the plan of God, not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is a major player in that plan of salvation. But he's not the center of it. The Father is. If the Father doesn't call us, there is nothing Christ can do for us. As simple as that. You see, that was one, you know, it was one of the blasphemous doctrines that began to be taught. Forget about God. Forget about the God of the Old Testament. You know, he's got his religion, he's got his Jews, he's got his laws, strict laws, that's not for us. We've got a new God, loving, kind, merciful. The other one is a harsh monster. Look at all the war and bloodshed that he commanded his people to engage in. And in their ignorance, not knowing the scriptures, because they didn't know how to read and write, and others who did know, were deceitful workers, ministers of the devil, willingly and willfully deceiving people. They should have known better. That Jesus Christ is, was, and will always be the God of Israel, the husband of Israel. You see, and to this very day that deception goes on. And most people believe it because they are dumb sheep. They are ignorant by choice. Chapter 2, for you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated at Philippi. Why? When you obey the law of God, you see, when you take the cross of Jesus Christ, that's what it means, and you're obedient to him and you serve him and you walk in his commandments and you expose the world, you know, in the darkness in which they are, they hate you for it. They persecute you. And that's what Paul was going through all the time. Had he just preached a smooth doctrine or sermon or theology, sweet, nicey, nice, you know, nobody would even bother about him. They'll say, oh, that fuzzy, wuzzy daddy, you know, things like that. He's harmless, speaking, you know, speaking swiftly and smoothly as many ministers do today, phony to the core, you see, an abomination and a stench in the sight of God. And yet he did not do that. He went all over the place, speaking boldly, teaching the law of God, just like Christ did. And he got persecuted for it. And so it says, we were bold in our God. And who is our God? Is it talking about Jesus Christ? No, the Father. We were bold in our God to speak to you the tidings of God in much conflict. You see? And God was telling the world that he loves the world so much that he was willing to give his Son to redeem them from destruction. You see? There is no way for them to come, even if God calls them, unless they are willing to repent of lawlessness, of transgression against his law. And then Christ will begin to live his life in them, in the Spirit, through the law, which is Spirit. And then they will begin to behave in a godly manner, in a sanctified and holy manner. That was the simplicity of Christ and the simplicity of God. This is what Paul taught wherever he went. And he constantly led people to the center of the plan of salvation, God himself, you see, and to his Son, his anointed deliverer. And so he says in verse 3, for our exhortation did not come from error, didn't come from lawlessness, from false doctrines, from our own background, you know, the do's and don'ts of the Pharisees. you see, which many of them were in accordance with the law of God, others were not. So that would have been error in the sight of God if it's not the truth. So it says we didn't come from error or uncleanness. And how would you know what uncleanness is unless you know the law of God? Nor was it in deceit. So they were not pretending like they are going to preach, you know, the word of God while they invent their own doctrines. As I said about other ministers that Christ talked about earlier, when he warned his disciples about those who would come in his name and deceive many, he spoke about other ministers that were already working in his day. And he called them false apostles, deceitful workers. They were claiming to preach the word of God, the word of Christ, which is the same, and yet they were deceiving many. And before people knew it, who were ignorant to begin with of the law of God, unlearned people, they woke up one day as time went by, and they were in a totally different religion. You see, as time went by, they called it Christianity. Forget about the law of God. Forget about the Sabbath of God. And there is only one, and that was the one that Jesus Christ sanctified and the Father sanctified. You see, because Jesus Christ, the very Creator, rested on that day, and he called himself the Lord of the Sabbath. And many other laws that just totally did away with it. They did away with the holy days of God, which he told Israel, Jesus Christ, speaking to Moses. In Leviticus 23, you can read it. These are my holy days, you see, my feasts, my days. Not Israel's, not the Jews. And not Jewish holidays, as they call them today, or in the past. Christ made it very plain. They are his holy days, and therefore when he comes, as you read in Zechariah 14, many other places. You see, as we read a while back, not too long ago, about the Sabbath and about the new moon. They belong to Jesus Christ. He sanctified them, and he made it very plain. The time is coming when he makes heaven a new heaven, new earth, and he reigns upon this earth, that every flesh, every single human being alive will come before him on every Sabbath and every new moon in worship before the great king. And so he said in Zechariah, speaking about the holy days, and it's not only tabernacles, but he made it very plain. Anybody on the face of the earth who is not going to come and worship God on the Feast of Tabernacles, God in essence is going to put him to death through starvation and other plagues. You see, Paul was not coming and deceiving people by misleading them and saying, forget about that supposed Judaism, which is not. Much of what Judaism was at the time was still biblical. Later on, it became more and more perverted, and you know, when the rabbis totally took over, there was no more temple, no priesthood. And then they began to invent their do's and don'ts and distorted many things. You see, and claim deceitfully that that came from Moses and so forth. So the religion also became a totally different religion. But Paul was not doing that. The deceitful workers who created what became later on Christianity did that, but not Paul. And so he made it very plain. I didn't teach you any error, any uncleanness. We didn't do it in deceit. You see, but verse 4, as we have been approved by God, because he's the one that does it, not Jesus Christ, to be entrusted with the tidings, you see, that was called the own gospel by the false church. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who tests our hearts. He is the center of religion. He is the head of the family, you see. All things point to him, not to Jesus Christ. They point to the Father, and then the Father give Jesus Christ a major role in the plan of salvation. And so he's the head of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. So we, as the body of Christ, members of it, just few individuals, in comparison to all those who are still coming, we look up to Jesus Christ, and we look up to the Father. But we always remember the Father is greater than Christ. And to him we pray, and from him we request all things, and from him come all things, through Jesus Christ. That's why he told us to pray in his name. Not to pray to Christ and forget about the Father, or pray to Christ in the name of the Father. No, pray to the Father in the name of Christ, because the Father is the center of everything. And that was one of the major deceptions that the pagan church has taught all those who followed it. That forget about God, he's, you know, just out. He's retired. And I'll give him lip service now and then. But Jesus Christ is our God, and he's another God, and we like him better. You see? Well, this is not what Paul was teaching. He made it very plain, everything comes from God. And so he says, for neither, verse 5, neither at any time did we use flattering words, which basically the ministers of the devil, who call themselves the ministers of Christ, that's the way they talk, flattering words, smooth, sweet, nice, you know, their voice is phony, you know, that's not a normal human voice, you see, and people go for it, and they think, well, that's religion. And, you know, they stand in a special way and move their hands in a special way, and they speak in a special voice, you see. All that is flattering and deceitfulness. The servants of God never talk like that, never dress like that, never behave that way. And yet people don't know anything else. What else do they know? They were born into that deception. They're all drunk with the wine of the wrath of the fornication of the great whore and the harlots. What else do they know? Until God calls them and opens their eyes and makes them see and understand, comprehend, and smell that filthiness and stench of the whore. And only then they begin to come out of it. Not before that. No man can come and teach you all these things and make you come out of it unless God did it. It's as simple as that. And so he says, neither at any time did we use flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Didn't say Christ, could have said Christ, forget about God, we're all going to talk about Christ now from now on, this is Christianity, you see. No, he always gave all the credit to the Father himself, as Christ commanded us to do. He says, God is my witness. Nor did we see glory from man, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. They knew the law. They could have demanded what belongs to them, as he said, Jesus Christ has ordained that they who live on, that is, they who preach the gospel, should live on the gospel, so they can totally devote themselves, not for selfish reasons, you see, reasons of self-aggrandizement, where they live in riches and palaces and sit on thrones and, you know, wear gold rings and you bow down before them and kiss their rings. That's not what he's talking about, you see. And yet, he says, even that I didn't do. Because I was not after your money. I was not like all those that Christ said, all those that came before me, you know, were thieves and robbers. He was not about to be one of those. That's lawlessness. And yet most ministers function that way. That's why they've got all those big cathedrals and palaces in the past many centuries in Europe, you see. And you see today, you go, I've been to South America, especially Costa Rica, you see, you know, towns, poor towns, people that don't look like they're, you know, well-dressed and well-fed and things like that. And in the center of it, a huge cathedral, a huge church. Where did the money come from? God is not interested in that. Yet the ministers of the devil, that's what they go for. Covetousness. You see, they seek their own. As Paul said, all seek their own. Speaking about the ministry in his day that already corrupted their path and ways because basically they came from the Gentile religion. That's the way they knew how life should be. You see? And so they basically brought it with them. And people who didn't know any better followed it because they too came from the Gentile mold and that's the way things were there. You know, you overlord it. You know, you exercise dominion authority over the lives of others, either in civil government or religious. And, you know, they were just used to it, so they went with it. And Paul constantly condemned it. And, you know, as Christ made very plain, one is your master, he is in heaven, but all of you are brethren. Treat one another as such. You are not there to eat the flesh of each other, you know, subjugate each other, make merchandise of each other. And so he says, I wouldn't seek any glory from men, either from you or from others, when we might have made demands as apostles of Christ. You see, as Christ said, and he repeated that here and there, that, you know, those who live in the Gospels, now, that is, who preach the tidings, the truth, the word of God should live on it, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. He didn't come around and tell them the first thing, hey, you've got to give me money. Now, that's according to the law, or else you are thieves. There are people who do that because they want money. The ministers of God have no business talking like that. They should teach the law and what the people do. That's their business between them and God. You see, that's a genuine minister of God. He's not after your money. He's not after your riches. It's all nothing. Absolutely trivia. When you shoot for the moon, so to speak, for eternity, for divinity, for godhood, you're not impressed with money. You're not impressed with things. You're not impressed with the praise of men. All that, you know, as Paul would call it, in terms of what he had in the past, the honor and the glory and the respect, all that he said was dung in comparison to the excellency that is in Christ. the divinity that Christ offered him, to be formed in him so he can be just like him. You see? But, you know, the false ministers of the devil, they don't know that. They don't believe it. They just believe in the here and the now, and so they act in that manner. He says, we didn't do that. But we were gentle among you. You see, didn't exercise dominion and authority over you. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. And if those in authority do not behave like that, their authority is not from God, but from the devil. It's as simple as that. Because God never gives that kind of authority to his servants, to exercise dominion and authority over others. He just doesn't. He is the master. To him should all glory be, and credit and honor, respect and reverence, you see. And for his servants, he wants people, yes, to respect them, to honor them for what they do, but he never gives them that authority to exercise dominion and authority over the lives of others or the faith of others. He had never done that. People take it to themselves in the name of God, claiming to be the government of God, you see. And some in their unlimited arrogance even claim to be higher than God in essence when they say that their word is preeminent over the word of God. A whole religion believes that and taught it for centuries to this very day. And people look to a man. He is their God, not Jesus Christ. They look to him for guidance and direction, for truth, for knowledge, for doctrines, for edicts, you know. As in the old days, they used to call them the bull, you know, that came from the center of that religion, from a certain man called the Pope, the father, who never had children unless he was messing around, which many of them did, and had a lot of harlots and mistresses, you see. Well, now and then, you know, they would send send a bull or whatever. And today, a lot of people will call it a lot of bull, and that's all it was. He says, we didn't do any of that. We were gentle, just like a nursing mother. And they were. That cherishes her own children, not smites them, not abuses them, not makes them, you know, gravel their own footsteps, you know, their own feet, you know, kiss my ring and things like that. Not take from them all things, leave them in poverty while they live in riches and palaces, and they have armies, and they had armies in time past, the popes had armies. You see, but that goes for any given religion. Anybody who behaves in that manner, be it in Judaism, be it in so-called Protestantism or Christian, or, you know, Catholicism or any other offshoot of that, they are not of God. They make it very plain by their own conduct and behavior what they are after. And he said, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the tidings, you see, you know, later on, right, you know, the gospel. Every time you see gospel, mind you, it's tidings, good news. You see, the word gospel does not convey the meaning of this word in Hebrew, bsorah, tidings. So it says, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the tidings of God. It's the tidings of God. It's not the tidings of Christ. You see, it's a tidings of God because, you know, God and Jesus Christ are one. It's also the tidings of Christ. But he always puts the emphasis because that's the way Christ inspires him to write it. You see? Christ doesn't take the preeminence himself. It's always of God. He always honored his Father. You see? He was willing to die because his Father commanded him to do so. And he loved him so much he was willing to do so. And he taught his disciples to be likewise, to honor with their whole being and heart, in their behavior, in their conduct, in their singing and services, in everything that they do, to honor the Father. He is the center, not Christ. And then when you go to a Protestant church or Catholic church, you find out that the center of their honor is not God but Christ. That's a part of the deception. And people don't get it to this very day, thinking that they are followers of Christ. You see? And yet the very elect have a better understanding. The others, they just brought their background and they think, well, that's okay, that's great, you know. I mean, Christ he died for me, you know, I should praise him and honor him. Of course we should, with all of our being and heart, as a wife should honor her husband, you see. But he's not the center of all things, the Father is. So first and foremost, as Christ told us and commanded us, you go to the Father, from him proceed all things, and you ask it in my name. It's not that it becomes a P.S., you see, by the way. You know, I ask you that in Jesus' name. No. He's a major part of that plan of salvation, of our life and everything, in whom we move and live and have our being, you see. because he's our direct God and creator and sustainer, our husband, our savior, our elder brother. But with all that, he's never above the Father. He never replaced the Father. This is exactly what the devil, when he became the devil from Lucifer, the light bringer, he wanted to depose God and be instead of him. And that's how the false ministers of so-called Christianity presented Jesus Christ. He replaced the Father. He is now our God. Forget about God. Forget about the Father and his doctrines and his law. And Christ said, you better be careful of people like that who are going to talk about me and deceive many. And that's a part of the deception. And so people in that world of Christianity, they do not look to God as much as they do look to Christ. And as time developed, they did not even look to Christ as much as they began to looking to his mother, who is dead and buried to this very moment, totally unconscious, not knowing what's happening, until she too will be brought out of the grave. And here you've got a whole church and a whole religion centered around a dead woman. It can do nothing for you. That's how pathetic things are. And so it says, we were so affectionately longing for you, we were all pleased, well pleased to impart to you not only the tidings of God, the Father, but also our own lives, because he had become dear to us. That's not and was not the nature of the overwhelming majority of the so-called ministers of Jesus Christ, ministers of the gospel. You see, be it the popes or the cardinals, be it the bishops, you see, be it the monks or, you know, they just went doing their own thing there and they did a lot of things they had no business doing. You see, as in old times when they went and uncovered the basements of many monasteries, they found an awful lot, thousands of skulls of little babies. Where did they come from? You see, they were messing around with the nuns. They were too busy doing all kind of things like that. Most of them, some of them did some good. They weren't interested in caring for the people around them. That's not the Apostle Paul. He didn't teach that. You see, all these are pagan doctrines that came from the pagan religion of monasteries and monks and nuns. There's no such a thing in the religion of God, in the religion of the Father. But you have it in pagan religions. And so they just brought it with them. And christened it, called it Christian. And everybody believes. And they call them Father, or Brother, or, you know, whatever names they give them. That didn't come from God. It has nothing to do with the law of God, with the law of Jesus Christ, which is the same as the law of God. And the servants of God are willing to give their own lives, as Paul said. Not only for his brothers and sisters and friends and the brethren that he was serving here, but he said about his own very people that many, you know, some of them, not all of them, but some of them were persecuting him, just like he used to persecute the people of Jesus Christ, the follower of Christ, who were all Jews, his fellow brethren. But he said, you know, I bear you witness before God, as we read in Romans, that I'm willing to be accursed from Christ for my kinsmen according to the flesh. You see? And if you're willing to do that for your enemies, how much would you do it for your friend? That's the nature of the genuine servants of God. But you know that the majority are not that way. That's what Paul had to say about the many ministers of his day. They all seek their own. They don't care about the things of Christ. And so he says, verse 9, for you remember, brethren, our labor and toil, for laboring night and day. Why did they have to do it? Because they didn't want to even to make the brethren pay for it. You see, that's what the genuine servants of God do, even though they know the law of God. And they may teach it. They have to teach it. That's in accordance to the law of God. But if the brethren are not interested in doing it, they are not going to go after them and make them feel guilty. You see? And eat bread that was given to them by constraint, grudgingly. They're not interested in that. There's no nobility and honor in that. And so they didn't do it. You see, that's what he said. We worked with our own hands, laboring night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. We preach to you the tidings of God. God, the Father, Elohim. Again, didn't say Christ. Could have said Christ. Establish a pattern here. Didn't do it. He followed in the same footsteps of all the men of God from the beginning of time. God was the center of all things. You see, as Moses, when he wrote a letter to the king of Edom, telling him about all the sufferings that Israel went through and asking for permission to go through his land. He said that they cried to God and he sent an angel. And that angel was Jesus Christ, who was also a deity, divine being, Jehovah, also the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, So the parent has always been there. The center of all things is the Father. Was not known as the Father at the time, but he was known as Elohim, the El Elyon. You see, and the one that he sent also was Elohim, but he was not the El Elyon. He was not the Most High, that is. There's only one Most High. Well, he sent him, and so he did now. And so Paul preaches that very Elohim, the Father, the one that became the Father of Jesus Christ, and also he preaches Jesus Christ. He doesn't preach only one at the expense of the other. You see, he gives them the due honor and respect as they commanded his people, their people, to do. And so it says, you are witnesses, verse 10, and God also. Again, didn't say Christ. He said God also, the Father is also. How devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you who believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his own children. And that's the role of the ministry. As a father, not as a ruler, you see, not as a boss, not as a grand whatever, you see, not as a lord over you, and your faith telling you what to do, you know, running your life for you, not telling you where to go, what to think. No, as a father does with his children. Yes, he has to correct them now and then, that's true. But much of what he does is love and affection and tenderness and kindness and instructions and meekness and humility, recognizing that they are the gifts of God, they are not his, even though he was partaker in bringing them into life by the grace of God, you see, but they belong to God. The Spirit came from God. God sustains them, not the Father. He gives them the physical things which God created, and they belong to God, and they will go back to God, and they will be the sons of God, you see. So a father that knows all that, a righteous father, that's how he treats his children. Of course, there are those who are not, and so they abuse them, and they think that they are their property, and they think their wife is their property. And a lot of bosses, you know, they think that their employees are their property, and the government thinks that people, you know, are their property. They treat them as such. And, you know, in the monarchies, they call them subjects, you see, like in British Isles. The Queen, you know, calls everyone my subject. I happened to be born in a British colony, Aden, and I was born as a British subject, you see. Still have the passport, the British passport. I'm a subject. Well, not in the sight of God. We're the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not of men, you see. But because we have rebelled against God, you know, he allows us all kind of, he allowed and caused all those kind of governments to rule over us, and so we became subjects to them. And in the army, you know, the U.S. Army, they call you, you know, as a soldier, no more human being. Now you become a G.I. Joe, government issue. What a dehumanizing term. And the arrogance to use it officially. You are a G.I., and people think that they're, you know, you should be proud of that. You want to be an issue, somebody else's issue? You're not a human being anymore, just an issue. You see? And that's the nature of the world. To the traffic officer, you're just a motorist. You're not a human being, you're a motorist, you know. And so forth. We've lost our humanity. Because we haven't had fathers and leaders who behaved as fathers, who cared for us like a nurse cherishes her children, like a father who loves his children and will give his life for them. We don't find these kind of leaders among us. You see, we don't have many parents who behave that way, unfortunately. And those who do, all the power to them. And so it says, we charge every one of you as a father, not as a boss. As a father does his own children. Why? So that you walk worthy of God. Didn't say worthy of Christ, worthy of God. Well, he's your father. Christ is not your father. He's your elder brother. You see? In a family, to whom do you pawn the family? Not to the brother, not to the older brother. No matter what he did for you, it's not to the older brother. You appreciate everything that he did for you. You give him honor and respect. And in the families of old, the older brother had a lot of respect. He was the heir, you see, next in line after the father when he dies. So, you know, he had a lot of respect and honor, yes, but he was not in place of the father, and everything pointed to the father, not to the elder brother. Now, when the father is dead, then you look up to the elder brother, but not before that. And so he makes it very plain. And the pagan religion that called itself Christianity as time went by diverted the attention of the supposed followers of Christ from the father. And it became a Christ religion. That's why they called it Christianity. You see, when God called it as you read here all the time, the way. And the apostles referred to the people of God as the church of God, not Christianity. That's why you hardly see the word Christian in the writings of the disciples of Christ. And certainly you never see the word Christianity in all the terminology they came up with, which is not of God. And so he says, that's the way we treated you. And he wants you to walk worthy of God. Would you walk worthy of God if you disobey his law? If you claim, well, your laws are strict and harsh, we don't want them, we've got another God, we don't need you anymore? Of course not. And yet that's exactly what the pagan religion taught its followers. And so he said, we want you to walk worthy of God, of the Father, who calls you, he's the one that did it, into his kingdom and glory. You cannot enter into his kingdom when you're disobedient to his law. And Christ cannot help you either. And certainly Maria is not going to help you because she's dead. So this is the wishful thinking of people, superstitious, and that's all they are, and they think they're religious, and they're the people of God. And so it says in verse 13, for this reason we also thank God. No Christ. Thank God. Of course you thank Christ too. But the emphasis that God wants him to have here, the emphasis that Jesus Christ wants him to have here, in bringing it to the attention of the brethren, is this. God is all and in all. He is the head of all things. And when he descends with heaven in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ, after a reign of 1,000 years, turns over the reign to the Father, and he becomes subject under him, and God will be all and in all. You see? But if he's supposedly that God of the Old Testament, somebody else, we don't need him, you know, just, you know, is a big daddy, so, you know, just say, be nice to him, things like that. But Christ is everything. Where are you going to be when his kingdom comes, when heaven and Jerusalem descends? You see, when he's going to be all in all. That's it, you see, in the lunacy that is in the heart of men. And so he says, for this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, it's the word of God, it's not the word of Christ. But it's the word of Christ because Christ and God are the same. But the emphasis is on God. It's the word of God. And so Paul taught. He didn't teach any new religion called Christianity. He's not a founder of Christianity. That was a pagan religion that came and began to be manifested even during his days. As he said, the mystery of iniquity does already work in his days. The tares were already there because the devil placed them there. And Christ warned against it. But at the same time, he says, as he gave a parable, he forbade the angels from removing the tares, but he let them grow with the wheat. They choked many of them, destroyed many of them, butchered them, and God allowed it for reasons known to him. You see, and only at the end time, he says, he sends the angels and he gathers all those tares and he's going to throw them, as he said, into the fire. They're going to be burned. And you know, they're the ones who are not going to repent, obviously, which hopefully are going to be only the small minority. Once their eyes are open, they will see what kind of deception they were in. Obviously, they would not be in that category. So you also have to understand the ultimate purpose of that parable. And so he said that we constantly give thanks to God because you received the word of God, which you heard from us. That's the only word that preached, the word of God. What does it mean, the word of God? What was the word of God that the Apostle Paul taught? You see, from Genesis 1:1 to that point. And then as Christ came, revealing the Father, teaching the word of God also, they continue to preach that too, you see. But the entirety of it, and that's what he called the whole counsel of God, you see. He didn't say the whole counsel of Christ. We preached to you the whole counsel of God, from Genesis 1:1, the entirety of the plan of God to that moment. And so he says, you receive the word of God, which you heard from us. You welcomed it not as the word of men, because they already had the experience of going to the synagogue and hearing the word of God there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth and all the teachings that came after it. And God created it, as Paul made it very plain, by Jesus Christ. You see? And so God is introduced as the creator, and he did it by Jesus Christ. As Paul later on would say, it is by Jesus Christ that he made all things for him and to him. And so the received the word of God, which they heard from the apostles, and he said you welcomed it as the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. It's the word of God, you see. the word of Elohim, the word of the El Elyon, the word of the Father. And it's not a different one. It's not a different message. You see, no wonder why the Jews would not accept so-called Christianity. Why would they? It's a pagan religion. They know better. Now they've got their own problems too. Additions, do's and don'ts, and all kind of foolish things of the rabbis. And God is going to deal with that and remove it from them. But they would never let go of the Torah that gave them sanity, and the prophets, and the writings. And all those ignoramuses out there trying to convert the Jews are ministers of the devil. Why would he want to convert somebody who obeys God to a pagan religion? Unless you are insane. It's not enough just for them to come and believe in Christ. Ironically, they already believe in Christ. All their lives they believed in Christ. They just didn't know that he came in the flesh. But when you serve the God of Israel, the one who married Israel in Sinai, who gave them the law, whom do you serve? Jesus Christ. That's the irony of it all. They just didn't accept him in that role. You see? And that was the problem of the Jews. And then when their eyes are open, when God comes, then they would know that he was the very one whom they worshipped in the synagogue to this very day and still do. You go to the synagogue and that's what you hear them do. They pray to God, they pray to the Redeemer, they plead for his coming to redeem them, to rebuild Zion, to restore the kingdom. You see? And they don't realize, obviously, that there are two of them. One is the Father and one is Christ. So they are confused on this point. But their eyes are going to be illuminated and no man can do it for them. Only God can. Only when God calls. You see? If God didn't open my mind, to begin with, I never went looking for religion. Didn't have to. I grew up in it. The ways of God, the Torah of God. Why would I look for another religion? I looked for the meaning of the truth that I've known, of the Torah, of the prophets. You see? And that's when God opened my mind, my eyes. It wasn't done by men. It just wasn't done by men. Before I heard anything about the New Testament or read it, my eyes were already open to understand that. You see? And so it was. And so when I began reading the New Testament, my eyes were totally open because I recognized the Master, the voice of the Master, the same God that I've known from my youth. Now I've known also that he came in the flesh. This is what happened. When Jesus Christ came in the flesh, there are those who recognized him as the voice of the Master. And that's what Nathanael was saying. You are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. You are the King of Israel. You see, and this is what a Jew needs to recognize, and only God can open your mind to see that. As he told Peter, whom do you think that I am? And then he explained to him, those things were not revealed to you by man. No man can reveal those things to you. You see, academic knowledge doesn't do any good to anybody. He said, unless my Father which is in heaven revealed it to you, and that's what Paul said, when it pleased the Father to reveal his Son in me. And if you haven't gone through that process where the Father himself had done it, you're just playing games. You think that you are what you are not. You think that you stand and you're going to fall because you have no personal relationship with Christ. You just know about him, just like you know about, you know, the sports figures and things like that. You can say, you know, all kind of things about them, all kind of details, but you don't know them. They don't know you from Adam either. And that's what Christ would say to the overwhelming majority of those who call themselves Christians. I never knew you because you are lawless. How can I ever know you? You reject the law of my Father and you think that you're going to be my disciples. No way. I and the Father are one. And so that's what he's saying here to them. You welcomed it as, not as the word of man, but as it is in the truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. That word of God, that law, that Torah, that's what he's talking about. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God. See, they were the churches of God, not the churches of Christ, which are in Judea, in Christ Jesus. Now, what do you think the churches of God, who were all Jews in Judea, walk in, believe in, abide in, but that which were they were taught from their youth? The Holy Scriptures from Genesis 1:1, the Torah, the prophets, the writings. That was the religion. That was the way of God. That was the religion of God. And all these Gentiles became imitators of them because to begin with, they used to go to the synagogue themselves to hear the word of God, knowing that this is the only place where you can hear it. And they continued to do it for centuries. Until the 4th century, we still see them, or the 5th or the 6th in some places, going to the synagogue and fellowshipping with the other Jews. And sometimes they had to do it in secret because, you know, some Jews didn't like the idea they believed in Christ. especially when the pagan religion rose that called itself Christianity and animosity developed there between the two. But as long as that was not an issue, they continued to do so. And that's why when the so-called Catholic fathers, or, you know, those who became before there was such a thing as Catholic fathers, Jerome and Origen and others, Epiphanius, when they wrote about these supposed followers of Christ, you know, from their own point of view, they said, well, they couldn't be servants of Christ. We are. They are not, because they're not Christians. Why? Because they do exactly everything in like manner, in like fashion, like the Jews. Everything, with the exception that they believe in Messiah. Well, the Jews, you know, the many that were among them, in the very community that they all were a part of, they didn't believe it. That was a personal thing, just like all the disciples and Christ. You know, they go to the temple until the destruction of it. They believe in Christ. The whole church that goes to the temple believes in Christ. The others don't, but otherwise they do everything in like fashion and manner. No difference whatsoever, because there has never been a change in that religion. And that's what Paul is making it very plain again and again and again. It's the religion of God that he's teaching, not Christianity, a new religion. And we'll stop at this point again. This is Mordechai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until the next lesson.